Hello, my name is Brian Ivashelsky, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today, we are joined by Esme Graywall, newly appointed CEO and president of the Senior Care Pharmacy Coalition, otherwise known as SCPC. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Brian. Great to be here.
Awesome. So today, we're going to be discussing Esme's new position with SCPC and the critical role long-term care pharmacy plays in ensuring the health outcomes of the country's aging population. So really, to start us off today, can you just tell us what led you to this role with the SCPC and what is your primary mission as you enter the senior care space?
Yes. So I've actually been in healthcare, I feel like, my entire career, and that's not by mistake. I grew up with four other siblings, two of which have significant disabilities and currently continue to deal with complex medical conditions and are supported by a caregiving team, including my parents and my family. So throughout my life, I've just been really subjected to all sides of the medical field, the good, the bad of healthcare, and really understanding what's really important from a beneficiary and from a family perspective. Both of them are duals. We've been involved with the Medicaid and Medicare system for decades and navigating that together. And so ended up in this healthcare space, started off in the Medicaid space, and then eventually in the Medicare space, and was with an organization called BrightSpring Pharmerica, leading federal affairs for all of their different divisions, one of which was long-term care pharmacy. So I'm based here in Washington, D.C., and was leading all of these different arms of the organization at the federal level. And so I worked really closely with Senior Care Pharmacy Coalition, which was our trade association for America, the long-term care pharmacy, and really loved the sector. As I learned more about what long-term care pharmacy is and the services and just met the wonderful people that run these pharmacies, I just really got invested in these issues. And this is a sector that does not get as much attention as some of the other sectors that I was working in on the provider side or even some of the different types of pharmacies. And so when this opportunity became available, it felt like such a great one and a calling to get involved with, because something that I've really been keen to doing throughout my career as someone who's a family member and knows what it's like to deal with the programs is to really simplify and amplify the issues that folks are dealing with. But I noticed in the 7 years that I worked on long-term care pharmacy issues for BrightSpring that there was a real lack of awareness. And so I'd say my core mission is to really drive awareness, but not only just awareness of the sector, but of just the incredible value it has to healthcare overall. So that's somewhere that we've been very focused in the past couple of months. We have a lot of vision of doing in the future and really making sure we're sustaining these services for the long run and making sure that everybody's aware of how important it is to the healthcare ecosystem.
Awesome. Yeah, that was perfectly put. First off, it's always great to chat with someone who has that personal connection to an important issue within pharmacy, but also I've had some conversations with experts and kind of pharmacy leaders within the aging population space and this sector, like you mentioned, and it definitely is, awareness is always necessary, could always be increased, but a lot of these organizations are very involved, like yourself with SCPC. So I'm really excited to kind of see what you guys have going on and really your understanding of this space and where it's going in the future. Before jumping into that long-term care pharmacy or LTC pharmacy, what would you say are some of the most pressing issues facing older adult populations in the U.S. today?
It's such a unique time for the aging population because you're seeing this unprecedented growth and this kind of tilt in our population that is going to be aging and aging longer. And I think that's part of that is we've always talked about the baby boomer population just being large and vast. But then you have to think about the fact that there's all of these terrific healthcare innovations that are allowing people to live longer. So lifetimes are longer. So people are managing their senior and their senior times in a longer trajectory. And then on top of that, you're dealing with a lot of changes because of a lot of innovation in the pharmaceutical space, where maybe there were conditions that were more terminal that are now becoming more chronic, which is a great outcome from what we've seen in this innovation space. And I think even if you look at something, when I was with Brightstream, we worked in the oncology space, and you would see that over the course of many decades, a lot of cancers went from being terminal to being managed through medication therapy, which is really wonderful. But I do think that that creates a challenge for folks to be able to manage their medications for a longer amount of time and then aspire to have the quality of life that they really want. And I think you partner that with the complication of when you enter the Medicare program and you're maybe even a dual that's covered by Medicare and Medicaid. As I mentioned, seeing this from the family perspective, how complex that system is really difficult to maneuver. So you want to have your medications covered. You want to get the right medications, but then you're also trying to figure out how to get that paid and how to do it over a long duration of time because your life expectancy is longer. And so to me, that's really a core issue for folks is you're getting into 65 and now we think of 65 as so young, right? And so, you know, a lot of folks are living so much longer. I'm celebrating my dad's 90th birthday next year and he's doing great. And so you really are seeing more of these 90s, 100s. And so how do you make sure that those individuals are able to not only get the medications that are making that possible, but then having them covered by the system. So to me, that's a very complex dance.
Yes, I very much agree. It's such a formative time, not only in so many of these different aspects in healthcare are really overlapping with the aging population, medications, but then pharmacists are also, they're in a more unique position than they ever have been, but also just it's not getting that complexity that you mentioned, it's not getting any easier, but things are changing so quickly. So it's really just the importance of staying on top of all these developing things within healthcare. Definitely a lot to touch on. I'm sure we could go on for days about this stuff, but really kind of just want to get into kind of the LTC pharmacy space and really where the older adult population kind of falls in line. So for those who may not know, how do LTC pharmacies differ from the retail pharmacies that most of us visit? And how has their prominence really evolved over time, maybe in recent history or going back even further than that?
Yes, they have been around for a long time, actually. And folks are really surprised about that because many people haven't heard of them. And when we describe them to staff on the Hill or talking to other policymakers, they're usually pretty surprised when we describe what their presence is like. But they've been around for decades. They were part of the Medicaid system before Part D and then got pulled into the Part D system in the early 2000s. But they're entirely different from retail pharmacies. And that's usually when we're talking to policymakers, that's what we're usually doing is differentiating because the issues and the solutions are much different for those two sectors. We have a lot of core themes that we align with the retail sector and we're very supportive. A lot of our pharmacists maybe came from retail pharmacy. And so there's a lot of agreement upon the sectors, but they're very different. Long-term care pharmacies traditionally have served long-term care facilities, which if decades ago was really a skilled nursing facility or an intermediate care facility that was serving a below 65 individual with an intellectual or developmental disability. So really these skilled facilities. But they are so much more. Their services are phenomenal. They do specialized packaging. You're literally stepping back a little bit. You think of a retail pharmacy that you and I might go to on the corner, Smith's Pharmacy or something like that, where you're submitting your prescription or your doctor's dialing it in, you're going and picking it up, and that's the transaction. Long-term care pharmacies aren't open to the public. They're often in business parks. They're quite large operations. They're unmarked because they're housing drugs, and they are taking in all of the medication needs for a patient, and they are really creating a packaged product for the facilities. They're auditing them incredibly, so there's many eyes on that prescription before it gets bucketed, and then it gets bucketed to a facility at the end, and then we're hand-delivering. We're not using USPS or UPS or anything like that. We're hand-delivering through a courier these buckets of meds up to 3 times a day, sometimes more, to a facility, and we're working really closely with the facility on that delivery and on making sure that the patients have the right drugs. And then we'll get into it a little bit more, I think, later as we talk about some of the more specifics. But It also includes a long-term care consultant pharmacist, which is actually who's actually going into the facility and going over the drug regimen for the patient, which is just a phenomenal side of what we do. But we're very connected to the patient, all of the meds that they're taking, and it's extremely monitored. And so you'll see how that plays out in statistics, but it's extremely different. And the other thing that I think that really stands out for long-term care pharmacies is we're working with patients that are complex. I mentioned that traditionally we have really served skilled nursing facilities and ICFs. We also serve PACE centers, so day programs for seniors. We also serve group homes. So those are home and community-based services for people with individuals. We serve substance abuse treatment centers. We serve a lot of behavioral treatment centers. It really runs the gamut of where we're serving. We also serve the home. So we can serve in the home. We can serve assisted living facilities. You see our service all over. But for the most part, you're looking at really complex patients that are getting their drugs paid for by Medicaid, but most often Medicare Part D. So we're 80% or more funded by Medicare Part D, which is extremely unique. That is very much unlike a retail pharmacy that deals more with commercial, has a little bit of Part D, maybe some Medicaid, TRICARE, and other services. But lots of areas where we differ. But when you look at where our core issues are, they're in that Part D realm because of how much that covers our services.
Awesome. Yeah, that's perfectly put. I appreciate you really laying the groundwork for kind of what LTC Pharmacy is and how it's evolving up until now and in the future, really. I really appreciate that. I think the theme here is bringing awareness, your mission, leading the SCPC, and also just bringing our audience a little bit more knowledge as to how LTC pharmacies really function and how they're a lot more needed and necessary. They're just as needed and necessary as all other pharmacy operations in the industry. So kind of going to talk about a little bit about the awareness that is needed within this space. So you've mentioned that LTC pharmacies, they often work behind the scenes. What are the most essential services? So we're really kind of getting into like the weeds of LTC pharmacy. So what are the most essential services that they provide to residents in nursing homes and assisted living that you feel pharmacy industry professionals really should be aware of?
I'm so proud of everything they do, really, and really passionate about it. So I'll focus in on one area, but I will say the delivery is phenomenal. And our pharmacies will deliver during natural disasters. They will find patients. They just make sure that people get the medications they need and should be applauded across the board for so many things. The thing that I really want to focus in on that I think is just one of the most high valued roles in Medicare that is overlooked is those long-term care consultant pharmacists. And these are pharmacists that are going into the facilities. Most of the time, we don't own these facilities. We just have a contractual relationship as the pharmacy. So we are going into these facilities and we are meeting with the patients, with their families, and reviewing, you know, the drug regimen that the individual's on. We check that for safety. So we're making sure the drug interactions are safe. We do a lot of deprescribing. And we're also looking at how do you reduce the amount of drugs that somebody's on. Our patients are generally, it would be quite surprising to not have polypharmacy across the board, like 100%, 6+ drugs. We generally have about a dozen. Our folks are generally on a dozen meds. And coming out of hospital, they can be on 20+. So it's our job to really reduce that. And I just think it's just such a phenomenal role. And it's something that's missing in terms of getting a spotlight on it and how it serves not only the quality of life for an individual. If you've had a family member or you yourself have been on like an antipsychotic or an anti-seizure drug, if you're already a weak individual, you could be sleeping the whole day and then you're not eating and then you're not doing your physical therapy and then you're not recovering. It really is a downhill issue. Our pharmacists are able to recognize that and reduce the dosage and then talk to the medical clinical directors on when it would be appropriate to remove those types of drugs, take away fall risks, things like that. So really phenomenal work on a patient-to-patient basis. Then let me just share a few stats for you that I think are just really interesting in this arena. In fact, I was at HHS last week with the chief economist who mentioned this stat that across the board in general, there's about 50% adherence to medications. And that leads to quite a lot of issues. 20 to 33% of preventable emergency department visits, so think very expensive visits, are medication related, particularly among Medicare patients. And then of those, 33 to 69% of medication related hospital admissions are preventable, with polypharmacy and non-adherence as key drivers. So really huge stats here. If you look at the stats in long-term care pharmacy, so again, that adherence rate is 50% for the general public. In a nursing home, it's 92.5% adherence. It's just amazing. We're packaging those drugs, they're being administered at the right times. So a really great adherence. And then 85.5% in assisted living, which is a real coup because there's not the same skilled setting, but you're still getting that high level of adherence. And then if you look at a study that was done for the home setting, applying long-term care pharmacy in the home setting, they saw 73.1% reduction in hospitalization. So just real issues that can be tackled here. And I'll leave you, Brian, sorry for all the stats, but I find this fascinating and just the unknown piece that has been not been tackled that I think long-term care pharmacy can solve for. But we spend as a country $528 billion in avoidable spending for the annual cost of non-optimized medication therapy. And that's 16% of total health expenditures. So something that I was sharing with the chief economist last week and something that I really think needs to be looked at is how the role of long-term care pharmacists can be heightened and then also applied in other parts of our health sector, because I really think it's just a phenomenal role that we offer.
No, yeah, I very much agree. Those statistics are necessary to really highlight, like you said, the phenomenal, the amazing work that's being done in this space. Like you said, a lot of our pharmacist audience, retail is such a huge sector, but there's very much so they can go into the LTC space, and it's a much more involved and intimate approach, obviously a lot more complex with kind of the patient populations they're dealing with. But at the end of the day, those statistics, they tell such a story within pharmacy right now. And to see that there are organizations out there that are really taking hold of this and trying to improve care for these populations, it's amazing to see, and only wish to see it grow further in the future. Awesome. Yeah. So I really appreciate all the great insights that you've given so far. Really want to just touch on kind of the continued with that theme of bringing awareness and kind of the undervalued aspect and how other healthcare sectors see the LTC space, and then and with going forward. So would you say that LTC pharmacy is an overlooked sector of pharmacy practice and services within the greater healthcare landscape? And if so, what major players are most susceptible at overlooking LTC pharmacy's importance or value? Specific players within healthcare or the drug supply chain, stuff like that.
Yes, it's really been our biggest issue at the federal level is being overlooked. Unfortunately, that's where a lot of our time and focus is, really trying to get policymakers to understand that we are different. Please treat us differently. For many years, we worked on legislation that would define long-term care pharmacy. It was a challenge. It didn't ultimately get done, but I think we got to a really good place with it. But it was quite a simple ask. Zero cost bill. It was just, please define us, because we were getting pulled into a lot of regs in multiple agencies, not just CMS, who had an easier way of carving us out, but the Drug Enforcement Administration would pull pharmacies in, and we're like, oh, we're pulled into this, and you don't mean to pull us into this. And how do you untangle us from that? We needed a statutory definition. So that's something we worked on. Most recently, we worked on just the unintended consequences of the Inflation Reduction Act on long-term care pharmacies. I mentioned to you, Brian, that we are mostly funded and reimbursed through Part D. So as you make Part D changes, it totally impacts how we're reimbursed. So that was a huge hit that we had to work on. We were able to get a little bit of agency relief there and work with some great champions on Capitol Hill. But again, it wasn't intentional. It was really just not being included in the conversation and thinking about how we are paid. And Part D in general is a really interesting, if you look back at, there was a 2007 report, this Part D went into effect, 2007 MedPAC report. And the biggest comment was that the stakeholders that were interviewed across the board were like, I don't think Part D was meant for long-term care pharmacies. I think we have a lot to figure out. We have a huge challenge with pharmacy benefit managers and PBMs and how the challenges that we have in getting fair rates. And so I think looking forward, we're really excited about the PBM reforms and the work that CMS is about to embark on. but we're also very nervous about the making sure that reasonable and relevant includes specific terms for long-term care pharmacy. And so that's something that we're working on with the broader pharmacy sector as well. But it just continues to be an issue that even what might be looked at as really good policy in the pharmacy sector isn't always for long-term care pharmacy, because we're just such a unique sector and we operate in a really unique way. So something that we're trying to push over the course of the next many years.
Awesome. Yeah, perfectly put. That response, I think it perfectly highlights the one side of how equal or not, how similar LTC pharmacy is to the greater pharmacy landscape with all those, the PBM reform, the IRA, that's all very in line with the pharmacy-wide kind of issues that are ongoing right now. But at the end of the day, it's still its own thing and kind of needs these specific the definitions and things like that to really push it forward, as little as they might seem at some point in time. But yeah, so definitely want to, pharmacy industry and kind of advocates want to see things like that move forward. So I really appreciate you taking the time today. I think this is a great discussion about everything about LTC pharmacy. Also touched on the aging population and how important it is for pharmacy to care for it. And so going forward, just want to kind of touch on the things going forward. So what are your hopes for the greater LTC pharmacy community, as well as the general just aging population as a whole, by the time that your tenure with SCPC has concluded in the future?
Yeah, my answer for this is different than it'd been in previous roles, where I'd worked on issues that were really about driving inclusion and kind of fixing issues and stepping away. So I'd always used to say, I hope I'm not needed in 10 years and that these issues are resolved. It's a bit different for SCPC. My main hope is that long-term care pharmacies are no longer healthcare's best kept secret. I really hope that we can really get out education about what they've been doing for decades and what they're able to do as we move into the future. And I think as we look at this aging population growth, I'm actually really excited about the opportunities it gives us to do it right. And I think that we often look back in healthcare policy and think, oh, we should have done it this way, or we could have done it this way. We have a real opportunity now to do it right. And I think that long-term care pharmacies are at this perfect point of providing solutions, not only for that aging population, but I do think that they can solve a lot of our healthcare issues. And so my true hope is that in a decade that is recognized and that we're seeing these really uplifted and we're seeing how we can create, you know, a system where long-term care pharmacies are a beforethought, not an afterthought. And not only is that generating great quality of life for the beneficiaries, and I think that's really the core goal, but real clear sustainability for the long-term care pharmacies and overall savings for the programs. I think there's so much to be had there and reasons for everybody to get involved in this mission to uplift the long-term care pharmacy. So that's my core hope, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate all your various different expert insights, from pharmacy to LTC pharmacy, understanding of what's going on Capitol Hill and the aging population and how it's all intertwined and really does affect the greater healthcare landscape. So yeah, I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk about it with us today.
Thank you so much, Brian. It was great to join.
Thanks so much. You have a good day.